Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I know yesterday, our previous episode, we were diving into the concepts of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, in relationship to what I call the scale of liberty. So I kind of painted this scale for you that starts off with white on one side or black on one side and goes through these series of grays from light or darker to the next opposite end, black to white, white to black. It doesn't matter where you want to put them in context to left and right. But if you understand the concept that white is the side of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and this is not about racism. This is about energy. Energy that grows, energy that can be productive, energy that shines. Enlightenment. That is white. The black side is the side of control. No energy. You have no growth. You are told what to do, and you will do what you are told. And so, excuse me, this is not about racism. This is, you know, because when people, you talk about white and black. As a matter of fact, I'd love to see, just going on a side, I'd love to see Crayola crayons come out with a box of flesh tone. And so they can literally have all of these different shades of flesh tones for, you know, for humanity. If they want to call them by the distinctive tribes and so forth, you will not find white in that box. You will find, you know, maybe, I don't know, Caucasian, that'll have a little, you know, beige to it or something. I have yet to see somebody that is white, maybe, you know, an angel or maybe, you know, a heavenly body might be pure white, but there's nobody on this earth that's pure white. And there's nobody on this earth that's really pure black. And so the fact of the matter is, I'd just love to see Crayola come out and try to define all the different skin colors just to kind of, you know, dive into the political correctness. Because I remember growing up, they actually used to have a crayon called flesh tone. Anyway, let me get out of this political correct paradigm here. And let me just kind of move forward with this concept of what we're trying to do here. The reason we're trying to do this is we want to get into the fundamental tenets of how important liberty is and how it is instilled in our hybrid constitutional republic, along with these mechanisms of protections, you know, checks and balances that we had within a system in so many different ways. And so we're going to be diving into that, but I want to start off with these fundamentals and concepts of what liberty really is and how liberty needs to be defined, as well as republicanism needs to be defined as we start moving forward. And we'll be connecting these dots, so you really need to listen to these shows so that we start linking everything and putting things into a context for you. I don't want to get necessarily complicated about this, but I want to be thorough enough that you can actually say, you know what, I really do understand exactly, you know, where GR is coming from, and I completely support this. If you don't support it, then by all means, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and let me have it. It's okay. I mean, there are differences of opinions on these things. And this is not necessarily a political science class. This is a hybrid class or a paradigm that embraces both the religious aspects, theocracies, as well as the principles of government, civility, or what was that? Civics. There you go. That was the old class that we used to have. Anyway, and how all of these things have kind of been folded into and how everything has completely been washed away by the current education system in how kids are indoctrinated as subjects to the government. We do not have free-thinking kids anymore. Our kids are thinking as they are being told that they need to surrender their liberties and be subjected, that the state needs to give them everything. Now, you want to listen to these episodes. So the listen number is 605-562-4209. I'll say that again. 605-562-4209. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. The reason why you want this number, this listen line, is just in case you can't stream and you're in a situation where you can actually make the phone call and you don't have to worry about streaming data, connections, and so forth other than your cell phone connection. We're at a point now where your network may not be able to move data and transfer internet kind of content data, but it actually can do pretty decent on audio streaming, or I should say audio phone calls, instead of using the HTTP and those types of protocols that your applications are using on your phone. Just a basic phone call. We've gotten so far advanced in the cell phone arena that a basic phone call is getting pretty decent. It's not like a landline, and landlines are dying very rapidly because almost everybody nowadays is using voice over IP, which is a different protocol than your streaming, but it uses less data, uses less resources, and so your VoIP or your listening on your cell phone, it would be a lot clearer or a lot better. So consider using the listen line. Now, we're not going into any news and marketing. As I always say, that crap's not going anywhere. Whether somebody, like I said in a previous show, whether somebody's died or hung themselves in the jail or Arkansas-ed themselves, and an Arkansas is a new concept of suicide where it, you know, anybody that's related to the Clintons, you know, that have a suspicious death, well, you call it Arkansas because everybody's claiming it to be a suicide, but you know better, right? So anyway, one of the things I also want to do, I want to grovel a little bit. We need your help. And if you can support our sponsor by buying Red State Coffee, the colder months are coming and they make great Christmas gifts. I know that anybody and everybody that drinks coffee or anybody that consumes a product, they want a premium product. And this is premium coffee. So please consider going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, clicking on the link for Red State Coffee. Go to eBay and buy yourself your favorite, you know, form of coffee, whether you want the beans to grind it yourself or fresh grinds. And then give us a call, 425-270-5416. That way you can tell me, just leave a quick 10, 15 second message. I love the coffee. You know, it's, you know, whatever you think. But that way you can help in the marketing and we will use, you know, we're making this premise that if you leave a message, that means you're giving us permission to use your name and whatever you put on there so that we can help or you can help us in promoting this coffee. So we would appreciate that help as well. We also have the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. So by all means, please send us some money that way. We would deeply appreciate any, and we humbly accept your support and anything you want to do for us. If you want to become a leader and serve those in your community, your county, and your state, send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. This way you can actually get directly involved and become a leader and become a part of the solution. So thank you so much for letting me get through these real quick. We got through them in the first segment. And oh, by the way, next week or coming up, I'm going to start telling you what you can do in some of the areas in the red states where, you know, there's going to be constitutional celebrations. Hopefully these things will start hitting the, you know, your schedule or hitting the news, hitting the websites out there, so we can start telling you what you can do and how you can get other people to go out and hopefully promote Constitution Day and Constitution Week coming up in September. So we're almost a month out. If you have not made any plans, it may be too late, but I, you know, better late than never kind of adage, right? So let's get out there and do that by all means. And I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for helping us maintain, you know, a high level of rankings. We're growing, and that is huge. I just had a great conversation with the owners of Red State Talk Radio. And, you know, even though our morning numbers aren't, our morning numbers are much better than the afternoon numbers, we are making some real movement on the Richter scale. So, and that's all because of you. So thank you for tuning in. As I always say, there is no sign of news that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And that's why we need to learn about the fundamental tenets to help us restore our hybrid constitutional republic. We do not want to conserve our government anymore. Our government is absolutely tyrannical and it needs to be thrown out. And we need to actually instill the original design that the framers gave us. It's just about restoring, not necessarily instilling. We don't have to revolt per se. We don't have to fire a shot. We have all the tools necessary within the Constitution to be able to do this. So I'm here to tell you that we have been blessed in these days for the ability to do the things necessary without ever having to fight a revolution ever again, without the, you know, the risk of loss of life and so forth. So with that, we're going into a break. And when we come back, we will be in and on with the scale of liberty, natural law, and those types of things as we build up into republicanism and the importance of republicanism in our hybrid constitutional republic. So with that, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so those who tuned into our last episode, we were going down this path. I was explaining the scale of liberty and the differences between individual liberty and individual sovereignty, where you get to choose and do what you want to do, and those on the side of subjugation. These are exact two opposites, and I was basically alluding to the fact that we have been fighting an ideological civil war since the beginning of mankind. The concepts of trying to subjugate and enslave the people in society or to let them live freely.
nine times out of 10, subjugation has always won out because more and more people start thinking it's okay to be enslaved. It's okay to have government dictate things to us. And people have a propensity to surrender themselves to something else instead of being accountable for their own lives. Well, the system we were endowed with by our framers and by the divine hand of providence is a system of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. You have to grasp this concept that you have control over your destiny in our system. Instead of the state telling you, well, you're going to go to school. Because what ends up happening with all of a sudden the state controls every faucet? Let's just look at education. Well, all of a sudden, a kid that may want to become, who knows, maybe a movie director because that seems really cool. Well, no, the state doesn't have many movie directors out there. The positions open. And all the seats, because this is how the military does it. And remember, I will tell you that the military is the perfect form of communism because it's voluntary. So the military looks at how many seats it has and what seats are becoming open when people are getting out. People are retiring. We need to replace. We need to put people in the pipeline, whether it be somebody pulling triggers as a warrior, somebody being a doctor, somebody being a supply, a cook. I mean, they manage a huge corporation of all sorts of skills and talent. And so the government will dictate when you come along, okay, here's your choices of a few things you can't. You can't be what you want to be, but you get to choose out of what they have to offer. That is not a lifestyle, or that is not a paradigm of individual liberty where you get to choose whatever it is you want to be and do. The state dictates everything. Some people would err on the side of, well, that's not bad, letting the state do that. Well, no, it's not bad if you voluntarily allow yourself to be subjugated to it. But when all of a sudden you no longer are voluntarily allowing yourself to be subjugated and they're telling you and you have no choice anymore, things change. And all of a sudden, people start realizing, oh, I can't be what I want to be. They start, you know, revolting or going against that. And what ends up happening is we get into this downward spiral that the state has to assume more power to get you to do what you're supposed to do. Because it's about compulsion. It's not about your choice anymore. You need to do what you're told. And that's where we are in our society. And that is the downward spiral we're heading. Again, as I was just going off the air, those on the side of liberty are those who want you to be free to think and do what you believe is best for you. When this paradigm exists in our society and in education, that is when you found that academia was free. Now, I've already talked about the blue laws and state laws and gone into how they're very, very similar. Except blue laws are not laws that throw you in jail. Blue laws are laws that, you know, you get shamed, you get kicked out of your church, your community, you know, shames you. They may not trust you, but there's a big difference between shaming and religious types of punishments versus government and putting you behind bars. Those on the side of subjugation are those who do not want you to be free in choosing for yourself. Who knows? You could hurt yourself. You must be compelled to do what is necessary, what is best for society. There are all sorts of utopian concepts out there. Soylent Green is one. Logan's Run is another one. There are all sorts of old movies that talk about utopianism and so forth. But that is when society is, now we're all living in a collective, and collectivism is communism. And I think anybody that's listened to the show for a long period of time completely understand these principles I'm reciting or repeating here. And so those of you that may be hearing this for the first time, this may, you know, may be new, it may not be. But it is essential in moving forward in understanding our checks and balances and why we have a system that allows us to be free. And we're slowly surrendering that. The people on the side of subjugation are those in education who want to control every facet of the topics and will not allow academia to be free. That poses too much of a problem when you are free to choose and challenge their paradigms. And for them and their controls on the narrative of society is foremost and paramount to them. And that's why they will not surrender to a free academia ever again until we actually rip it out of their nasty fingers, as I cited in my previous episode. And I ask you now to take a second and look at science and nature. Does one not see the opposites abounding in our life and in our reality? There is positive and negative in a magnetic field. There is hot and cold in temperature. There is day, the projection of light from a light source such as the sun, and an absence to that projection of light. Could be night, could be in a, you know, a black room, or a black box, such as, you know, a camera. That's the absence of light. We have male and female. We have justice, and we have injustice. And we have bitter, we have sweet. There are so many things that offer exact opposites in our reality. As a matter of fact, again, I will say opposites not only abound in our reality, but there are ranges to these, just like the scale of liberty, right? Have you ever had sweet and sour pork? It's a little sweet and it's a little sour, right? So we have these mixes and these frequency responses. And a good example in frequencies in the electromagnetic spectrum, you have high frequencies to low frequencies within these things. And in some of them, you have visible light is somewhere in the middle. You have X-rays and gamma rays and infrared and so forth. And the electromagnetic spectrum is broken up by the wavelengths. The faster, the higher, the slower, the lower. And so we even have these exact same opposites in the sound spectrum. High frequencies are very directional. Low frequencies are omnidirectional. So even the characteristics are opposite. If you understand how opposites are a reality, ideologically, opposites are a reality as well in our ideologies. So in the big picture, the universe is dependent upon opposites, or maybe even better stated, is built upon opposites. I will say this, that if we live in a world of subjugation, then we do not allow, because if what happens is if we're enslaved, we actually violate nature itself because we have removed the abilities to have opposites. There is only one way and one way alone. It's only positives. Negatives don't exist anymore, and it creates an out of control and an imbalance in nature and in our reality. As one looks at the universe and space, two distinctive opposites are stars that provide energy and even black holes that consume energy. One feeds life and the other destroys it. So now I ask that you consider the concept of tolerance and or forbearance. The liberty end is one where is one where we'll find these traits, tolerance and forbearance. The subjugation end of the scale of liberty is where one finds intolerance and control. Just like the spectrum of sonic frequencies, one will find that each side is hardwired with opposite characteristics. And this is so important that you understand this. This is so important because if you are in the camp, if you are on the side of liberty to some degree, then you do not understand the other opposite end of you. The opposite end of you understands you, but you do not understand them because you believe that everybody must choose and learn for themselves and based on their education, based on their understandings of facts, they choose for themselves. They are not wired that way. They do this, they do this, they do this, and they all work collectively. They are a parasitic type of organization or nature. And so this is good and evil. Evil is always trying to consume good, but good is trying to grow and help spread good. And so this fight between good and evil, 9 times out of 10, good does not understand evil. And I deal with this all the time when I'm talking to people, because they just do not understand how evil and, you know, how that operates and how that even exists. But they really understand good and how to help promote good. And so it's really important for all of those of you who are on the good side to understand the hardwiring. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let me, because we kind of wrapped up and I've kind of gone deeply into this concept of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and these two opposite ends. You have to understand that those on the side of liberty embrace truth. Those on the side of subjugation do not embrace truth. They embrace the narrative or what is necessary. Remember, their theme, their motto on their end, the ends justify the means. And so when we talk about liberty and liberty embracing truth, I want you to understand the concepts of what truth really is. Truth is, like when people say that those embracing liberty, they don't embrace scientific law. That's not true. Scientific law is truth. Gravity is scientific law. Let me correctly state this. Gravitational force is scientific law. Nuclear force is scientific law. Magnetic force is scientific law. There is a huge difference between scientific theory and scientific law. Evolution is a scientific theory just like creation. Now, there's no evidence that one can actually prove and create the concept and the theory of creation. The Earth and the universe, there are all sorts of things that we've observed that support the concept. And there are more things that support the concept of creationism than evolution. Because evolution still cannot account for the software. Evolution can fully account for the hardware side of existence, but they cannot account for the software, the things that make life exist. The DNA, the genomes within Earth, that programming that actually creates life in its different forms. That is the intelligence design. And we have actually and scientifically proven the facts that these things do exist. So there are scientific laws that DNA does exist. But there is nothing that proves that evolution can create DNA. They can only create the building blocks. There's no way, you know, you have an equal chance of creating a human body without life for, you know, evolution. Just like there's an equal chance of a computer being formed naturally, right? Because they're basically the same things. It's just hardware. We have all the minerals that exist in the world and in the universe that can create both hardware, but none can create the operating system. The operating system is the intelligence injected into the hardware. You have to have an operating system for a computer to really work. Unless you have an operating system, you just have a hunk of hardware. It's the same thing with a body or with a, you know, a piece of wood or what have you. The building blocks are there. And in a body, that would just be the protein goo. You would have the building blocks for life cells to be created for different types of animals and plants and so forth. But you do not have the ability to create that life because you require that software. Science has proven this. So those on the side of individual liberty, they embrace science. Contrary to what those on the side of subjugation say. No, we are all based on science. Absolutely not, they're not. They do not accept anything that does not support their narrative. Remember, the ends justify the means. So if you can prove, and once we prove that the DNA is an intelligent design provided in this world for and by a creator, then you have refuted them. And that is one battlefield that they will just never be able to win. And interestingly enough, creation and evolution seems to be the real basic battle. Because that is how they have focused their attacks since the beginning of secularism. And it wasn't just this regurgitation, this evolution of secularism. If you look out through society, secularism has raised its head in challenging the origins of creation many times in society. Even the ancient Greeks, Aristotle, Plato, and so forth, they actually postulated the concepts of both creation and evolution. There's nothing unique. We are only fighting and arguing the same things that have been fought and argued, and the two sides have their origins and, or I should say, their sources. And so we have, you know, on the Christian, or I should say on the theocracy side of Christianity here in America, we have God, the Creator, and we have the Savior, Jesus Christ. And on the other side, we have Satan and Satan's minions and followers and his doctrines. And so that's why we have this kind of, just call it the civil war of ideologies, one of liberty and choosing for yourself to follow Christ. And the other one is subjugation and doing what you're told. And that is, as Obama used to call it, that is collective salvation. That is how society is obtains salvation. I mean, he's a very secularist. I mean, Obama is a hybrid, if you want to call him a hybrid, Christian, secularist, and Islamist. But anyway, if you understand that scientific law are things that are absolutely proven, then there's no doubt that people on the side of liberty absolutely support those things. They don't support some of the theory that has been postulated by the secularists, like this whole concept of evolution and so forth, social engineering and so forth. And so now as you start to understand these laws, then you can start to understand laws of nature. Is this nature or is this natural law? And so let me just kind of lay this out here, because natural law is based upon principles and truths, both inherent to creation as well as sciences, that are law. Do not get confused that evolution is law. It is still a theory. There's a big difference between scientific theory and scientific law, because scientific law is actually embraced by natural law. It is harmonized with and due to knowledge and understanding. It's universal and exists and applies anywhere in the universe, regardless of location. It is eternal and immutable, and it exists and applies for as long as the universe exists and cannot be changed. That is natural law. Man's law is based upon dogmatic beliefs and constructs of the mind. You know, these theories that don't accept natural law and try to challenge it, such as evolution, such as, marriage and some of these other laws. These are all compiled with and due to fear and or punishment. Man's law differs with location based upon the whims of legislators and moral relativism. Man's law changes with time based upon the whims of the sovereigns, whether that be your legislators, the people, the democracies, or what. And it is moral relativism. Natural law is a philosophy that is a byproduct of a society based upon liberty and enlightenment. And per Wikipedia, asserting that certain rights are inherent by virtue of human nature, endowed by nature, traditionally by the creator or God or a transcendent source, and that these can be understood universally through human reason as determined by nature. The law of nature is implied to be objective and universal. It exists independently of human understanding and of the positive law of a given state, political order, legislature, or society at large. So if you start to understand these differences, then you can kind of understand, you know, how and why we're where we are, where one side is reliant upon truth and builds upon truth, and the other one builds upon narratives and the needs of man and so forth. Historically, natural law refers to the use of reason to analyze human nature to deduce binding rules of moral behavior from nature's or God's creation of reality and mankind. The concept of natural law was documented in ancient Greek philosophy, including Aristotle, and was referred to in Roman philosophy by Cicero. References to natural law are also found in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Bible, later expounded upon in the Middle Ages by Christian philosophers such as Albert the Great and Thomas Aquinas. The school of Salamancia made notable contributions during the Renaissance. So if you kind of understand how enlightenment has been building and building upon truths, you can understand why the side of liberty is irrefutable, but the side of subjugation is whimsical, and it is changed by the personalities and the paradigms of those who are in control. And so as you can tell, we're at a hard break. So let's jump into this next break here, and we will be back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so if you start looking at the macro, if you start looking at the grand picture, we were truly in enlightenment when society, even the religions of Western society, started embracing enlightenment and the truths. We were constantly, and the whole thing was, it was constantly challenging controls. If you understand the controls of theocracies, the controls of secularism, statism, and those types of things, they have constantly been in control. But the premise of Western society was freedom, the free agencies and academic freedom. And so modern natural law theories were greatly developed in the Age of Enlightenment, of what most people call the Age of Enlightenment. And that was, some people considered it a long span, and most, though, do not consider it a long span. The Age of Enlightenment really began, to me, as I see it, the modern day Enlightenment began with the Magna Carta in 2012. Most people, I think, pin it to the 14, 1500s. I'm telling you, it actually started well before that. Even with Dante, I think that was 11th century or maybe the 12th century. But the fact of the matter is, and modern enlightenment was a growing snowball. It started maybe with a snowflake and started, you know, doubling and doubling and doubling and growing and growing. And if you understand where we went as a society to creating the United States, we were at the pinnacle of enlightenment. And once we started moving forward in American enlightenment, we were still growing. The point where we were becoming diminished and actually coming apart was when we actually reached that point where society, those keepers of society, started moving away from the same principles and tenets of academic freedom and started dictating narratives and agendas and so forth. When we moved from true leadership of liberty to managements of freedom, that was the shift, because if you understand, even in the perfect world of communism, where you get a choice of, that's the management of freedom. That's a doctrine of managing your freedoms. You're not free. The state is dictating what you can do. Oh, yeah, you get to freely choose out of what they give you, but you are no longer free. You no longer have liberty. And so the combination in the the Age of Enlightenment and combining inspiration from Roman law and the philosophies of like social contract theory, and the key proponents were, as I've already said, Aristotle, Cicero, Gentile, Suarez, Hooker, Hobbes, Grotius, Pufendorf, Hale, Locke, Hutchinson, Bacon, Vattel, Becquerel, Pagano, as well as Galileo, even Thomas Jefferson, even Adam Smith. These men, as they were moving forward in challenging and creating new truths, or actually, I should say, not creating, but discovering and establishing new truths, the American Enlightenment has been the pinnacle of enlightenment in society of mankind, since the history of mankind. That is where we've reached our pinnacle of enlightenment. And I'm here to tell you that the truths that were provided, they were constantly challenging the levels of control, but the society was still embracing academic freedom. Once we created the society that actually protected, permanently protected these freedoms, the dark forces started working against us. As a matter of fact, I believe it was George Washington in his farewell address talked about the jealousies of other nations and the jealousies of these rulers of the world that wanted to destroy our liberty because we were no longer under the rule of monarchies and the rule of evil beings. And so the whole concept of enlightenment was used to challenge the divine rights of kings. If you've ever read John Locke's Two Treaties of Government, the whole concept was challenging the divine right of kings and became an alternative justification for the establishment of a social contract that was written for and by the people and or by the sovereign states of the people, as we have here in the United States. Positive law and government, and thus legal rights in the form of classical republicanism. Conversely, the concept of natural rights is used by others to challenge the legitimacy of all establishments. And so when you start thinking about natural rights, you actually start not thinking of natural law, but you start thinking of social justice and so forth, and trying to create equal and letting government control what is equal and so forth. And that is it's the exact opposite of what we're talking about. Now, what I want to get into next is the fundamental concepts, because I've already kind of talked about this in the previous episode. What is a federation? That's a fundamental question that people need to understand. What is a federation? What is a confederation? Is our constitutional republic a federation or a confederation? Because I hear people always talk about federalism and federation. What is federalism? What are these things? Both possess a general government, and a general government in both can and is often referred to as a federal government. So understanding these fundamental tenets of what the framers created, you know, I'm here to tell you, my friends, they did not sit down and write hardcore definitions of what federalism was. A guy by the name of, Noah Webster was the guy that kind of created these things as far as the first dictionary of what definitions were. And I'm telling you, he was far removed from the true brain trust of these guys that were creating this. I'm here to tell you that if you start understanding a federation and a confederation, then you will understand completely that we have a hybrid constitutional republic that is neither a federation or a confederation. It is a hybrid between both. our federation and confederation is one that actually delegates very specific powers, and they're very strong powers of being able to possess the ability to direct tax to do the things that we have delegated to the federal government. But we have only delegated very specific things and not general things. In typical federations, the federal government is delegated general powers, and they dictate. They grow as their tastes and as their desires drive them. If you look at a confederation is very segmented, and each state has its own sovereignty, and they're constantly pitting against each other, and they've only created a convenience of a general government to provide fundamental services, but not true sovereignty. The federal government is so limited that our Articles of Confederation were designed on those principles of a confederation with a very limited general government. That is why it was destined to fail. So as you understand that our Constitutional Republic is a hybrid, I hope you understand that both of these concepts, or this actual hybrid, is brilliant, because what we have is a checks and balance. We have an insatiable federal government that wants to grow its own powers and abilities, but the check has been placed on it by the states, for the states to say, you can't do that unless we delegate that power via the Article 5 amendment process. So who's in control over those things delegated to the federal government? That is what they control. Over those things not delegated, the states and the Confederacy is in control of all those other things, individually and collectively. More importantly, when the federal government tries to assume a role, responsibility, or power that has not been formally delegated to it, it is not a single state and or a single entity and or body does not have the full authority to go and shut down that unconstitutional power. See, a moral person would never assume authority and obtain power over somebody else, or what we would call unrighteous dominion. They wouldn't do that. A moral person would say, well, if you want me to do this, you have to give me this power to do this. And then in doing that, how you articulate that power has to be done very precisely to ensure that they can't assume any harmful powers beyond that. In doing this, my friends, in delegating these powers, this is how the federal government, or this sub-government, this subcontractor, this child government can perform its duties and have the necessary powers to do what it needs to do. And then the states collectively have to either delegate or have to step in and stop the federal government from exercising any of these types of powers. Now, we haven't even gotten into republicanism, so in our next episode, we will go from these concepts of confederation and federation into republicanism, and we're putting it all together for you here, my friends. We will be back. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.